Chapter 16. I held the pipe over the small pile of black powder, its flame still licking the edges of the inside of the bell, as I slowly lowered it. It had taken longer than I meant to get it set up, and I wasn't sure the aquavite still had vapors to give off, but I wanted to make sure that the locket had recorded the faces of the iron dwarves. When I neared the top of the compound, the few fumes left on the aquavite lit, and like a snake, they curled down into the black powder. I threw the pipe and the telescoping grab stick as hard as I could to my side. Then I braced myself for the explosion. I held my breath for one long second, one that seemed to stretch into eternity, and the powder didn't ignite. But then I saw the flash of orange within the depths of the minuscule pile, and the next second light bloomed in a burst almost as bright as the sun. I winced as the sound followed, and I took a step back to steady myself as the shock wave hit me right in the chest. Yellow and orange flames with blue centers lapped at the stone floor as the rest of the compound was consumed. They left scorch marks on the previously unstained floor, and as they faded into nothingness, a wispy white smoke drifted into the air. I shook my head to clear the ringing in my ears, and then carefully walked over to make sure there was no more residue on the ground. Just to be safe, I grabbed the towel I had used to dry the equipment with, and then wiped down the floor before I tossed the now useless rag into a trash pail in the corner. There was about a foot of black soot that spiked out from a circular center, and as I bent down to triple-check that it was all gone, I saw that there was a crack in the stone that penetrated about half an inch deep into the floor. "There you have it," I said, as I stood and straightened. I stuffed my hands into the pockets of my jacket to seem more casual than I felt, and to hide their shaking as I waited for their reaction. Shadows covered the faces of the iron dwarves as they stared at the spot where the black powder had been ignited, and even though I squinted, I couldn't quite make out the looks they gave me from underneath their hoods. The darkness faded a bit as Mr. K directed some of the glowing orbs down to reveal the destruction the demonstration had left. "You can come take a look at the damage," I said, when no one moved or said anything. This was only a very small amount of black powder. A whole barrel could easily take out a city street if you distribute it right. I'm sure it'll be sufficient for your mining operation. "Taslin," I called through our psychic link, "you and Nora may want to get ready to transport me out of here."
"Did something happen?"
the beautiful vixen asked. "No," I responded. "I just did the demonstration, but if they suspect anything, I'll need to make a quick getaway."
"I'll be waiting,"
she said.
"Nora went back to wait for you with Janel, but she's only a mirror away."
"Good," I replied. "I'll keep you updated." I tried not to fidget as I waited for someone to do or say something, but the longer it took, the more agitated I became. So I stuffed my hands in my pockets and forced myself to remain completely still. Finally, the leader with the long braided beard came forward to look at the spot where the blast had taken place. He knelt down, his black cloak pooled on the ground around him, and the hood covered his face. He reached out thick, stubby fingers to run over the spot, and I thought I saw him blanch when they ran over the crack that had been created. His companions edged closer, so I stepped a little further back to give them room to examine, and I hoped that the light cast by the orbs would catch their faces. The two men squatted next to their commander, their own hands traced the lines of the explosion, but still no one said anything. I reached up and ran a hand over my hair as I waited for them to finish their inspection. I thought my demonstration had gone well, but the longer it took for them to say anything, the more I wondered if I had given something away. I replayed the sabotage of the last shipment in my mind. I had gone with my girls to follow the minotaurs who had picked up the 20 barrels of black powder. Then I watched and waited as they were unloaded before we followed the dwarves further into the mountains. I knew Nora hadn't left any signs of herself in the explosion she had set off, but I wondered if something about how I had ignited it had given them doubts that it was an accident. The Iron Dwarves, the enemy of the River Kingdoms, were just a few feet away from me, and I had no idea what they were thinking. They started to mutter to each other in Dwarvish, and I couldn't understand what they said, but whatever they discussed seemed heated. I must have revealed something, or they didn't like the product. though the tiny amount I had used had managed to crack the stone, so I doubted that was the case. I raced from thought to thought as I waited for them to stand and say something to me or to Mr. K, and debated whether I should just cut my losses and summon Nura. I had their faces recorded on the amulet, and if we moved fast, we could get it to the city watch before they could catch up with us. If they had liked the demonstration, though, then I had plenty of it back in my old laboratory, and if they said they wanted to buy all of it, then I could catch the purchase on the amulet. If they didn't like it, or if they suspected that the last batch I had sold them through Mr. K had been bad, then my sexy gin girlfriend would have to travel like a thunderbolt. When the leader finally straightened, his shoulders were taut, and from the dim light of the orb that hovered nearby, I could see that there was a frown on his black, gleaming face. He reminded me of Onyx Stone as he stared at me, and I held my breath until he turned to look at the crime lord who awaited his answer as well. I watched with bated breath as he walked over to Mr. K. His face was once again shadowed by his hood, but he made small gestures with his arms that made him seem as if he was angry. I heard my pulse in my ears as I thought about the backup plan to use my magic and burst out. Nura would come to me and transport us back to the lab, and Taslin would listen for my call when I was ready.
Zare?
Taslin nudged my mind.
Is everything okay? I'm getting a lot of nervous energy.
Stand by, I told her. I think they realized I had something to do with the explosion, though they might just be arguing price. The two other dwarves studied me for a moment, and I gave them a confident smile, even though my palms were sweaty in my jacket pockets. They stood up in unison. The elder gave a grunt as his knees cracked, but I was sure old age wasn't the reason for the glare that he pinned me with. They walked over to join their leader and his argument with Mr. K, as each of them started to interject. Whatever they said seemed to irritate the crime lord, especially when one of them gestured toward me, and the elvenborn glanced over to his guard to give him a minuscule nod. The beefy man shrugged, then he strolled over to me as he took a long black strip of cloth out of his pocket. He held it up into the light, and I hoped that he planned to use it to blindfold me rather than to suffocate me, or worse, to stuff in my mouth while they tortured me.
"Sorry about this," the guy said as he stopped in front of me. "You've got to be blindfolded."
"Sure," I said, and I was proud that my voice did not reveal the fear that coursed through my veins. "Is everything okay? I thought the demonstration went well."
"I'm sure Mr. K'll take care of it," he replied. "I think they're trying to buy you."
"I'm not for sale," I snapped.
"Of course not,"
my escort laughed, but I wasn't sure it was because he was being sarcastic or because the idea was funny. "I'm about to leave the warehouse," I told Taz. "I should be back to the lab in about half an hour."
"I'll be waiting,"
she purred. I closed my eyes as the massive elven-born goon stood behind me. He draped the cloth over my face, and then he tugged it tight like it had been on the ride over. I took a deep breath as the darkness enclosed my vision. My ability to judge the situation was gone without a direct line of sight to the dwarves, so I reached into my psyche to connect with Ferex. The little creature seemed like he was asleep when I found him in the back of my mind. After some prodding, he sniffed the air, his head swiveled back and forth. But then he just laid it back down on his taloned claws and fell asleep. His dismissal of the situation was a comfort. If there was any danger to my person, he would have growled or barked. My shoulders released their tension as I reasoned that the Iron Dwarves were angry that Mr. K wouldn't sell me, and that it was something that would threaten me at the moment. Though that didn't mean there wouldn't be blowback if they did something reckless, like set the rest of the black powder on fire.
"Mr. K wants me to take you home," the elven-born guard said from my right.
"Do I need to do anything else?" I asked.
"Nah,"
the guy responded, and I could almost picture him shrug.
"We'll clean all of the equipment. It's best you get back."
"Okay," I said. I could hear raised voices, but I still couldn't make out what language they argued in. Make sure that you don't use any kind of heat to clean with. That bottle of aqua vitae should be perfect, and if you have any left, you can use it to get drunk."
"I'll tell the guys,"
my escort said in an amused tone as he took me by the elbow and started to lead me out. The cool night air washed over me as I heard the sound of a door open, and a shiver ran down my spine. A breeze wrapped around me to ruffle the ends of my coat, but I had no time to appreciate it as the guard started to pull me forward again.
"Do you want me to lift you up into the carriage?"
the Elvenborn asked. "No," I replied. "I think I can climb the stairs." I reached up, and my hand searched the air for a moment, but then I found the handle on the side of the carriage. I traced the door frame with my other hand to find that the door was already open. I lifted my foot and found the first step, and then I hoisted myself up. I didn't bother with the other steps. Instead, I leaned down to find the top of the stairs and took one giant lunge to get onto it. From the chuckle I heard behind me, I had to look ridiculous as I fumbled my way into the carriage and onto the plush velvet seats. At least I hadn't been picked up like a rag doll, so I did have some dignity left. The carriage tilted toward the door, and I guessed that my escort had climbed in behind me. The unmanned carriage started forward after the door shut. The familiar sound of the wheels on the hard-packed dirt told me we were on the edges of the city, but soon I could hear cobblestone as we rolled along. "So," I said as the silence grew unbearable, "do you think they like the demonstration?"
"It's best you don't ask too many questions," the guard responded.
"Right," I said, and then I decided to repeat the part about the booze with hopes they would open up a bit more. "Well, I hope you guys like the aqua vitae. It's not the tastiest alcohol in the world, but it'll get the job done if you're just looking to get drunk." All I got in return was a grunt, so I pursed my lips and turned my head toward where I thought there would be a window. I couldn't smell the night air in the closed cabin, even when I scooted closer to the side wall. I had hoped that there would be some indication of where we were in the city, the smell of the docks, or maybe the scent of urine and ale from the bars, but I couldn't tell anything.
"We're here," the Elvenborn said after a few more minutes of excruciating quiet. "Lean forward, not take the blindfold off."
I did as I was told, and I held my breath as the man's large hand struggled with the knot. I stayed perfectly still until the fabric slipped away from my head, then blinked in the poor light inside the carriage.
Thanks,
I said.
"Sure," the man responded with a shrug. "Have a good night. Make sure you keep that burner mirror on you in case Mr. K wants to put in an order."
"Got it," I replied, before I scooted over and pushed open the door. The air had cooled dramatically in the few minutes that I had been inside. The chill sent a shiver down my spine, though I wasn't sure if it was the weather or the last of the nerves from the meeting. I took a deep breath of the free air once the carriage door shut and my ride began to trundle along down the road. Before I walked back home, I decided to go check the laboratory one last time, so I snuck in through the side gate and crept across the grass in the deep night toward the looming building in the distance.
"I was starting to wonder if I needed to come save you,"
Taslin purred when I walked close enough to the lab to see her.
"I guess it did take more than half an hour," I said with a grin.
"The demonstration did go well, though at the end the Iron Dwarves seemed pretty angry. And if my guard was right, they wanted to buy me, and not just the black powder. They were arguing with Mr. K when I was escorted out." The red-headed fox girl pushed off the wall of the lab, then sashayed over to me. Her black dress hugged her breasts and hips, and I had the sudden urge to run my hands over every inch of her pale, freckled skin. When she got closer to me, she grabbed my shirt, then she yanked me to her to claim my lips in a passionate kiss.
"Were you worried?" I asked when I pulled back to trail my lips over the soft flesh of her neck.
"No,"
she breathed.
"I'm just glad that you weren't sold off."
Her fingers traced the line of my back as I nipped her bare collarbone.
"Is the lab all locked up? The chemicals are safe?"
"Yes,"
she answered.
"Nora and Janel are waiting at the house still. I gave them a call on the mirror when you were on the way. They should be waiting for us."
"So I get you all to myself for our walk home?" I asked with a smirk and a wink. I slipped my hand into hers and our fingers intertwined as I started to lead us back toward the gate. Despite the cold, I was warm with her beside me. And as we left the school behind, I was happy to have a moment alone with my beautiful girlfriend.
"Did you pine for me the entire time I was gone?" I teased, as I gave her a sideways glance.
"Of course,"
she winked.
"Though I did stop by the library for a little while."
"Researching anything interesting?"
"No, but it was useful."
"Oh?"
I lifted an eyebrow as we turned down the street where our new home was located.
I could see the gates, even in the dark, because of the sconces on either side of the metal gateway.
Court and royalty procedures,
she responded. You think it'll come to that? I questioned.
I like to be ready, and I'm not entirely sure I would trust the City Watch to actually be on our side.
I pulled open the gate, then I walked through the open courtyard and up the stairs with Taz next to me. I expected the foyer to be empty when I pulled the door open to the massive foyer. But when the heavy wooden door swung on its hinges, I found Nora and Janel on a silk couch that faced us.
Welcome home, husband.
Janel grinned at my shocked expression.
We thought we would wait here for you both to come back safe.
She uncrossed her long, tan legs, then stood and strolled over to me. She wrapped her arms around my neck, then pulled me into a long, sweet kiss, before she turned to Taslin and gave her a kiss as well. Her long black hair was pinned behind her head with two braids across her forehead, and she wore a dark green robe that matched her eyes.
How did it go?
She asked as she took my hand and led me over to the couch. The demonstration went well, I answered. The black powder worked perfectly. My only worry is that the dwarves didn't seem happy when I left, and they were arguing with Mr. K. Apparently they wanted to buy me, but Mr. K wants to keep me around.
Husband is not for sale,
Janel sniffed.
Do you think they realized it was us that blew up that shipment?
Nora asked as we all sat down. I don't think so, I said. I can't think of any evidence we left behind.
We should look at the amulet,
Taz said.
We need to make sure that it recorded everything.
Good idea,
Janel grinned.
I've never seen a spy mirror recording before.
Her green eyes shone as she reached to unlatch the necklace from around my neck. Neither have I said. I had it on my chest the entire time. It should have had the perfect view of the entire thing. My wife pulled the necklace down. The thin chain pooled in the palm of her delicate hand, and the face of the locket gleamed in the light. She handed it to Taslin, her attention fixed on the amulet as my lover began to cast the spell that would show us what had been recorded. Taz dangled it in front of her as she cast. And soon, a mist rose from the surface of the amulet to form the picture of me as I fetched it from its hiding place in the shower. She swiped her free hand toward the right, and the images sped ahead to when I climbed into the carriage. It showed the elven-born goon who had blindfolded me, Mr. K, and all of the streets we had taken through the window that they had left open for our trip there. The locket showed the laboratory that I had been brought to. A place in the old factory district and far away from businesses or residential areas. I watched as I started the process with the black powder and the short hooded figures who joined me. I grinned when I saw the orbs float down. The black gleaming faces of the iron dwarves were illuminated, and my heart swelled with pride as I realized we had everything we needed.
There isn't any sound,
Nora muttered as we watched the explosion. Sadly, no, I muttered. Though I'm glad that the blast didn't break the mirror.
You were far enough back that it wouldn't hurt it,
Taslin said while she lowered the locket back into her hand.
So what do we do now?
Janel asked.
We go to bed,
I said, as a yawn pulled open my mouth. We'll go to the City Watch first thing tomorrow morning. We can bring it to the Chief Constable and show him our evidence.
Do you think they'll do anything about it?
Nora asked.
If they don't,
Taz started,
we'll take it straight to the king.
I'm sure I can find someone in the palace to get us an audience,
Janel said.
My parents failed to discover anyone, but I think one of my friends from the Bard Institute has a connection.
Good. I pushed myself to my feet. Let's get some sleep, after I take a very long bath. I sniffed the fabric of my shirt to smell the sulfur and charcoal that clung to it.
I will draw the bath for you, my darling husband,
Janel purred as she stood, then looped her arm through mine.
I have some oils that will soothe your skin and help you fall asleep,
Nora offered. And then she snapped her fingers, and a small vial of purple liquid appeared in her hand.
It's lavender and jasmine.
Oh,
Janel whispered when the djinn uncapped the oil and let us smell the concoction.
That smells lovely. I may be joining you in that bath.
I'll never turn that down. I grinned at her, then gave her a kiss on her cheek. Will either of you be joining us?
I think I'll just go to my room,
Taz said.
I have some more reading to take care of.
I have some things I want to tweak in my wing.
Nora grinned at us.
You should have a night alone with your wife.
Where's Ilara? I asked.
Oh.
Janel waved her hand.
She said she had some business to take care of, but she's only a mirror away if we need her. She told us not to wait up for her.
All right, I said. I will see you ladies in the morning.
Good night, masters.
Nora kissed each of us briefly, then disappeared.
Will you follow us up?
Janel asked Taslin.
Of course,
Taz said as she took Janel's hand. Together we walked up the marble stairs, my wife and my lover by my sides, and the warmth in my heart from the knowledge that I had these beautiful women in my life.
Sleep well,
Taslin said, when we reached her rooms, and she gave us each a long kiss, then disappeared into her room, and her fluffy red tail swayed behind her. See you in the morning, I called, before another yawn yanked open my jaw.
I'm not sure how I'll make it through the bath.
I don't mind scrubbing you down,
Janel whispered in my ear as she opened the door to our bedroom suite.
That does sound nice.
I let her lead me into the bath, my eyes riveted to her pert rear end as she bent over the large tub with steaming water. I swayed on the spot when the scent of lavender and jasmine started to fill the air, and by the time Janel started to pull my shirt over my head, I thought I might fall asleep before we made it to the bed. She pulled my wool pants down, her fingers ran over my thighs, then up my chest as she pressed her body against mine. She ran her tongue along my lips. The taste of bean brew lingered when she deepened the kiss, and I felt myself start to wake back up despite the way I swayed.
You are tired,
she whispered when she took a step back, and I tilted toward her. Her smile was beautiful as she looked me up and down, appraising me before she walked over to the tub. Sorry, I mumbled, though I definitely think I can wake up enough to enjoy every inch of you. I grinned at her, and heat pulsed through me as I watched her slip out of her robes.
No,
she laughed.
It's been a long night. Now get in the water and let me wash that black powder off of you.
My wife was true to her word, and she washed every inch of me, scrubbed all the residue from me between the soft kisses she trailed down my neck and shoulders as she sat behind me in the water. She had me so relaxed that I dozed off in her arms, and I only woke when cold air washed over me as the water drained from the tub.
Let's get you some sleep,
she breathed in my ear after I stood. That sounds like a wonderful idea, I muttered as I stepped out onto the rug that the tub sat on. You're an amazing woman.
And you're my heroic husband,
she winked. It was her turn to yawn since the late hour, and hot water had relaxed her as well, and we both collapsed onto the bed in each other's arms. Morning came a little too early for me, but as I blinked in the early light of day, I realized I wasn't nearly as tired as I thought I would be. The day beckoned me forward, though with Janel cuddled into my side, I had trouble with remembering exactly why I needed to get out of bed.
Good morning,
my wife whispered as her green eyes fluttered open, and she stretched.
I need to thank Nora for that oil. I don't think I've slept that well in years. Do you think she'll join us next time?
I'm sure she would if you asked nicely, I said.
She joined me in the shower before, so I'm sure she can take a nice long bath, even if she is made out of fire.
I'd really enjoy that.
Janel yawned before she sat up and crawled out of bed.
We need a bigger tub so we can all fit.
Now that'd be wonderful, I smirked. I threw the blankets back, then I climbed out of bed and followed my beautiful wife into our giant closet. I got one last glance at her perfect tan skin before she slipped into pale blue robes with vines embroidered into the sleeves and along the hem. I dressed in my usual white shirt and brown wool pants, while I debated whether I should wear a vest or not. Janel reached around me to take a black one with gold buttons down.
Here,
she said.
You'll look handsome and distinguished in this.
Thank you, I responded, then snagged a quick kiss.
Janel, there?
Nora's voice called as she entered our room.
I have breakfast waiting for us downstairs. Taslin and Ilara are already at the dining room table.
Not in the entryway? I teased when I walked out of the closet with Janel right behind me.
That was a one-time event.
My wife rolled her eyes.
We were worried.
Good morning, I said to Nora before I kissed her. Did you get the revisions to your wing finished?
I did,
she grinned. I let the ladies lead the way, my stomach growling as the scent of sausage rolls wafted over me, and I picked up the pace when I saw the buffet that Nora had created. I groaned when I took the first bite. My gin girlfriend had replicated my parents' recipe to perfection, and for a moment, I felt like I was back home. "After breakfast, we need to go see the city watch," I said.
"I'm going to stay in the getaway carriage while you guys go inside,"
Ilara squeaked.
"It's best if my customers don't see me around the police station."
"Of course,"
Taz rolled her eyes. As soon as I had finished with the sausage rolls, I poured myself a paper cup of black bean brew and then turned to my ladies. I grabbed my coat from the hall, checked that my soul gems and the amulet were inside, and then I grinned at the women who waited for me. The pink carriage Janel's parents had gifted her waited for us as soon as we opened the front door. Its door swung open as we neared, the windows were already down, and the scent of fresh morning dew drifted through the cabin. Once we were loaded into the carriage, it trundled toward our destination without any direction from us, though I knew that Janel had to have given it instructions. I was impatient by the time we pulled up in front of the tall, square building that held the city watch. I had the locket, the proof that the Korlems had conspired with the Iron Dwarves, and soon we would be one step closer to putting an end to their treason. Nora's form shifted into her masculine form as the carriage stopped, and I patted her hand as I saw a flash of worry across her face. She gave me a smile, then fixed the shirt of her suit before she ran her hands through her much shorter hair. She had decided to take the male Diaflorian disguise rather than just the female. She worried that the latter was too obvious. And I did feel a little better with her so unrecognizable from the woman we had freed from the Korlems.
"I'll be right out here,"
Ilara said as we all climbed out.
"Be careful. The Korlems may have spies inside."
"See you soon," I winked. I led everyone inside the beige-colored building into the large open lobby with rickety wooden chairs that lined the walls. I walked right up to the front desk where a young elvenborn with a deep black mustache chatted with a human, pulled my shoulders back, took a deep breath, and then cleared my throat to get the man's attention. "Ahem. I'd like to speak to the chief constable," I told the man, as his dark brown eyes shifted over to me. "It's an urgent matter of organized crime." The elvenborn lifted an eyebrow, his attention shifted to my companions. It lingered a little too long on Taz and Janel, but eventually he looked back at me. He didn't seem impressed, and I thought he would refuse, but then he just shrugged.
"I'll let him know," he drawled. "You can all sit right over there. It might be a while."
"Thank you," I said. I took my seat on the uncomfortable chairs, and I caught a glimpse of the jail cells at the end of a long hallway. I watched as Taslin pulled out a book, then I listened as Janel began to hum to herself, and I felt the strength and resolve that settled over me as she bolstered all of us. I let the song ease my nerves as the time crawled. My mind replayed the night before, every moment of the Iron Dwarves and Mr. K, and I tried to plan exactly what I would say when we were called into the office. The minutes stretched like hours as we waited to see if the chief would bother with us.